You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Elisa.
How's it going?
It's going. It's officially summertime.
Yeah.
Kids are out of school. My hubby's going back to clean out his classroom and turn in the keys. And then I get my family back. And
my son did that today. He called me at 9:30 this morning and said, I'm free.
Oh, wow. See, now every time I always talk to somebody in the East, they're like, oh, you got out early or something. It's like, yeah, because we live in the Southwest and nobody wants to pay for the air conditioning fees to keep all the classrooms cooled all summer long.
Right.
I don't know if that's still the case, but that's
well, that's him too. He goes from August to May. Yep.
Oh, so that's the same thing as us.
But then he goes back for summer school. So
yeah.
And by the way, listeners, this is episode 419 of Geekiest Show Ever.
Just in case you weren't following along, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I now officially have a graduate. So my eldest has now graduated high school. They're going to start college here pretty soon. I think in August. I don't know. This is an interesting transition. I know you've been through it times three, but I'm still, you know, this is my first baby. So it's a new chapter. It's so everything's all kind of discombobulated now. It's like, I don't know what to, it hasn't really sunk in yet. And then my youngest just graduated from middle school. And so now I have one high schooler left. I only have one kid to have to shuffle out the door in the morning. At least I hope it stays that way. I hope my oldest will, like, you know, he's not driving yet, but I hope, like, you know, he'll start maybe taking the public bus or ride his bike or, you know, find other means of transportation. So we'll see how that works out. I don't know.
Yeah. High school graduation was a long time ago. I mean, I have a son knocking on the door of 40.
Yeah. It's in your rearview mirror, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a long time ago.
Now, does Shane go to his school for his well, wait, what grade does he teach? Is it fourth and fifth?
Fifth grade.
Okay,
fifth grade.
So he doesn't have to go for graduation ceremonies and stuff.
No, they did it yesterday.
Oh, so they do. Do they graduate fifth graders into sixth grade?
Then they go up to the middle school.
Middle school. Yeah, we did that too.
So
yeah.
They just went back today to clean up their classrooms, turn in their keys, that kind of thing. And that actually, I'm not sure if he did have to turn in his keys because he's back next year. So maybe he didn't. But he just had to do, you know, paperwork, blah, 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 blah. Like I said, I'm at the gym and he's calling me at 9:30. I'm thinking, uh-oh. And I could hear him in his car. He's like, I'm free.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So he was just going home and grabbing some stuff. And he was going to spend the weekend with one of his friends down in North Carolina.
Was he blasting Alice Cooper's on his, for summer?
He's on his way down there now, so he's going to spend the weekend with him and his girlfriend. And
oh, that's fun. Yeah, Nate went to his school's high school graduation. So what's cool about that now, since he's gotten his master's degree, when they have the teachers wear their regalia, so he gets to. It's nice because when I was steaming the graduation gowns, I had two gowns to steam now this time. So I have to steam Nate's every year because he gets it out and he wears it because he's a teacher and he has his master's, so he wears his hood and his gown and regalia. And then this year I had two gowns because Lucian was graduating, so. Yeah, it's all bittersweet. I haven't, like, cried or anything. I wonder what's wrong with me.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know what I think it might be. Because you know you have another one coming.
Yeah.
It was kind of like when my oldest, it was time to start packing away baby clothes as he got bigger. Mm-hmm. It didn't upset me that much because I knew there was another one coming.
Yeah.
And then for child two... Yeah. Yeah. I knew another one was coming, but with child three, I knew that was it.
Yeah. Did you lose it?
So that one was... I didn't know, but I mean, it's like, oh,
yeah.
I'm not going to have another little baby that I get to pull this out for. But, you know.
Watching the middle school graduation was really cute because they go to a very small charter school. So it's nice. It's nice and small. It's not like a huge, like when I look at other people's posts on Facebook, I see the crowds and I graduated from a very large I had a very large high school and an even larger college. There were it felt like there were like thousands of people there. But this is just so small and tiny and intimate. So it's kind of nice. But watching all the kids like do their processional out. You know, by the time they get to high school, there's so many new kids and new faces, and their bone structure has changed, and you don't know who's who anymore. And a lot of them have moved away or new kids have come. So I've kind of like lost touch with the high schoolers that graduated. But the middle schoolers, there's still about a quarter of them, I would say quarter to maybe half, that I've known them since kindergarten. And I was really involved in Keegan's kindergarten, so I volunteered. And so I'm watching these kids come out, and, you know, what is it? Nate calls it like the March of the Gazelles. You know what I mean? Like the girls in their high heels, like you could tell like they're learning how to walk and use their, all the kids are so, you know, they're so adorable, but they're so goofy because they're all tall and lanky and, you know, getting used to their longer limbs and everything. So it's really cute. But I'm looking at all these kids march by and I'm like, oh my God, I remember when you came up to me with your loose tooth.
That reminded me of the sixth grade dance when Shane was in sixth grade. And there was a girl that he was friends with. Uh-huh. And her aunt took her to the salon and had her hair done and makeup. And I see her come in because I was dropping off Shane and I think I was talking to some other parents. And I see her come in. Her name was Samantha. I started to cry. Uh-huh. I looked at her and I said, oh, Samantha, you look gorgeous. And like I had little tears, and her mom and dad are going, stop it. Yeah, now you're going to make me cry. Because again, I've known her since she was in kindergarten.
And
it's like this beautiful, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. You watch them blossom.
Yeah.
So it's been bittersweet, but I'm glad summer's here. And I'm dreading the actual summer part because it's already in the 90s. It's already getting really hot. So,
yeah. Whereas here we're having the argument, it's been in the high 80s here all week. Like right now it's 81 degrees and it's really breezy. So you might hear some noise. I have a window open. But we go through the argument now that we have air conditioner, we have central air. We never had it before. So this is our second summer. I don't like air conditioning. I don't like it. I don't like how it feels.
Yes, and I can't live without it.
It makes me sneeze. I'd rather open up the window and get fresh air. Mm-hmm. And I get from Tom, I think you can turn the air conditioning on now. I'm like, do I have to? Yeah, it's 75 in here. I'm like, can't we just open the windows more?
That's funny.
Like, no, so we end up closed.
Because it's humid, and then that's how air conditioning works. It has to take the humidity out of the air. So you feel like it's too dry. That's probably why it makes you sneeze.
No, I'm just cold, no matter what temperature. And I usually put it on 74. And we've been turning it off at night because we have ceiling fans. So if it gets too warm, we just turn the ceiling fan on.
Yeah. See, that's when I turn it down because I want to try to sleep cold. Like right now I'm trying to like enjoy it while I can because pretty soon it's going to get to the point where it's going to be in the 90s at night when you're trying to sleep. And then the air conditioner trying to like crank all night long is just, I'm not looking forward to the electricity bills. Like right now it's nice because we've had a lot of sun and our solar panels bring the bill down somewhat. But once the summer comes, it's like all bets are off. It just and then they've put new. We've already started having brownouts. We've already had two brownouts where they just kind of like, I don't know. Do you guys experience that where they just shut the electricity off for like just like a second and everything comes back on? Yeah,
nope.
It has something to do with the grid. So, but that's already starting to happen, and it's only May. So it's just it's getting sooner and hotter sooner for longer. So,
Yep.
Anyway,
one thing I wanted to mention is for the people like me who got the Apple credit card as soon as it was announced, if you haven't already, you're going to be getting emails from Apple saying that you're going to be getting a new card in the mail. And because it's been 5 years, it came out in 2019. So what they're going to do is they're going to send you a new card. So I got my email earlier this month, and then they send you another one saying it's on its way and how you need to activate it, which is super simple. And then they send you a little envelope that you pop your old card into and just drop it off at any place that accepts a FedEx package. I just dropped mine off at Staples. And that way they're recycling it responsibly.
I want to keep it.
Well, go for it. You don't have to send it back, but just
there's no penalty or anything.
Like my other ones, I put through the shredder. Well, you can't put this through the shredder.
No, it'll break the shredder. The shredder will
exactly
not be happy.
So, what ended up happening is when I updated it, it doesn't automatically update the information in your wallet.
Mm.
So what I did is when you open the wallet app and you click on your Apple card and you tap the credit card icon at the top right and request a new number. So then when that happens, the new expiration date appears as well as the new credit card number and your three-digit number.
So you do have to get a new credit card number?
Well,
do you have to do that, or is that just what you
there,
did?
Well, there is a follow-up to that. Okay. So then, of course, then what you need to do is make sure you change that information when you have websites where you have recurring charges. So I have a couple, so I went in and I changed all the number. This is what's called your virtual card versus what the card is in your pocket. So I sent this feedback to MacGeekGab because I thought, yay, this is my first thing that might help somebody. So Dave Hamilton and I had a back and forth via email about what would happen if you don't update the card in your wallet until after the expiration date. So he was going to wait and see what happened. My guess is that the card just wouldn't work if you didn't do that. So then a follow-up I received from Dave is he received an email from Apple about the virtual card info, and it looks like that I jumped the gun. So this came from what he sent me from Apple. It says, your virtual card information has been updated. We have updated your virtual card expiration date and three-digit security code because they were about to expire. You can access the new card information in the wallet by tapping Apple Card, then tap the card number icon. The 16-digit card number associated with your virtual card has not changed. You can now use this virtual card information and your Apple Card with Apple Pay without any disruption. And then it gives the expiration date of his previous virtual card. So you still have to go in if you have recurring charges so that you can change the three-digit number and
the expiration date.
Right. But if, you know, if your old card was 1234567, it's still 1234567, where mine was completely changed. So I jumped the gun a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I would prefer to keep the number. Like, I know that, because I do this all day long, every day for my clients, I know that, like you just said, you still have to go in and change the expiration date and the security code. So while you're in there, you could just put in the new 16-digit card number. I mean, for people like us, like, we're so used to just copying and pasting everything. Of course, it's more typing. It's not that big of a deal. But I would think that keeping that 16-digit card number the same, although, like, you know, the purposes of being able to change it is because of, like, fraud protection,
exactly,
things like that. Like, if your card becomes compromised, then you can easily go in, change the card, and so this saves on the it's a green initiative, I imagine, because imagine your card gets compromised. It's not a matter of if, but when, right? And so then you have to wait several days for the new card to come into the mail and all of the fuel that's spent in doing that and the, you know, all of the cost and materials associated with issuing a new credit card. Whereas this is nice because, I mean, I hadn't thought about it before you brought this up, but this is nice. All of that is negated. You don't have to wait several days. If your card number becomes compromised, you just get a new card number and you don't have to get a whole new physical card or anything. So that's really nice. But also because, like, when I do my accounting, when I do my record keeping, I always, and this is just a tip for people, if you have multiple credit cards, this is what I have seen that's been working for both me and my clients. When I'm teaching them how to use 1Password or when I'm helping them with account management, in all of our, in the entries that you make in 1Password or any credential manager, you can use this tip for, I'm just going to say 1Password, but when you make the entry for the credit card, and that's not the same thing as the login for going in and looking at your transactions, just having an entry with your credit card information in case, you know, something else gets compromised or you lose the physical card or something. I always have them fill out that information. I always fill it out myself. I put the phone number, the address, all that information.
The credit limit.
And then that way it sets to autofill. So when you are shopping online, whether you're using a mobile device or a laptop or desktop, the credential manager will fill in all those details for you. If the website has been coded correctly, it'll accept all those fields. And so being able to keep that 16-digit number and trying to minimize the times that you would have to change it is a good thing. Also, because what I was about to say is that in the title for that credit card entry, I always have them put whatever the name of the card is, and then I always have them put the last four digits of that 16-digit number, because that's what usually shows on all of your receipts and invoices and things like that. And so if you ever have to look something up, you can do, you know, a spotlight search with just those four numbers. And then it just makes it easier to find in your list, especially, I mean, I don't have that many credit cards, but, you know, managing the whole family. And then I know clients who just, you know, have a lot of credit cards because they like to play the points game like we do. And so having all of your credit card entries in your credential manager with the last four digits in the title makes it easier to find them, because that's usually what we kind of memorize. We usually memorize like the last four digits so that you know, okay, I used my, for example, medical expenses. We have an HSA Visa credit card, so we use that. So I want to always make sure that, oh, yep, you know, that was the day that, you know, their card reader wasn't working correctly and I had to use my Apple card. And so now I know, okay, I used my Apple card for that. I have to go and reimburse myself. So it's
but
just really important
mind,
to keep those
though,
four digits.
With Apple, there's two sets of numbers.
I know. Yeah, I was going to ask
there's
about that
your,
too, right?
There's your physical card.
That's right.
And then there's your Apple Pay.
Right.
So it depends on how you pay. Now, it's I think maybe in the almost 5 years I've had my card, mm-hmm. I might have used it three times physically.
Mm-hmm. Now,
if I'm in a position where I'm paying for something and my Apple Pay does not work for whatever reason,
yeah,
I'll use my other credit cards.
Okay. Instead of the Apple card.
Instead of the Apple card.
And out of curiosity, why is that?
Just various points, like you said before.
I was going to say points,
I collect points all over the place.
Right.
But
right.
Just for simplicity, if I'm using my watch and they take Apple Pay, it's my Apple card.
Right. And then because you're using Apple Pay, you get 2% cash back because it's using Apple Pay. Whereas I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you have to pull out the physical titanium card, there's no, let's see, is there a chip on it? Is it, I think it has a chip, right? Yeah, it has a chip and a strip there's, on it.
No, I don't think it has a strip.
No strip.
And I can't go and find it because it's in the other room.
Right, yeah, mine's in the other room too. But I'm pretty sure it has a silver stripe on the back of it because I believe it is all like backwards compatible and everything. So it should work whether or not you have to, I've never had to swipe it though. I've never had to like swipe it in a card reader. I've always dipped it.
Right.
So I think it has all three. I think it's contactless. I think you could. I wonder. That has not been something that I've tried because I always use my watch or my phone if it says tap to pay. But I wonder if you could tap to pay with your Apple card, with your physical card. And would that count as Apple Pay or would that count as just like a 1% transaction?
I'm looking at pictures. I see a chip. Uh-huh. But it's not showing the back of the card.
Uh-huh. I'm pretty sure it does have a strip.
Wait a minute. Let me look. Here's one.
Because even in their iconography, they have a strip.
It's a strip, but it looks different than what we're used to.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why it could
be
construed as just a coloration as opposed to a strip.
Right. Because it's
But different. Yes. Mm-hmm. There is a strip, and then there is the chip on the front.
Right. So it has all of the, so what does it say about tap to pay though? Because like, why would you use the physical card to tap to pay when you have your watch or your phone and you can get tap to pay that way?
Yeah, it doesn't have that little symbol for tap to pay.
It doesn't. So I wonder if that's.
But I can't imagine that it wouldn't.
It must have something. Because like when you get it, there must be something in it that communicates with the phone wirelessly. It has to have that. Because otherwise, how else would it like bond or would it pair to your, like, what is the terminology for that? I wonder. When you take the card out, does it pair with your phone?
This is interesting.
Because remember when we originally got it, you opened up the envelope. I don't think the pairing mechanism was in the envelope, is it? It has to be.
Okay. This is an old article. August of 2021, but it says Apple Card to lose its magnetic stripe as MasterCard opts for Apple Pay and contactless future. But this was...
Yeah, but that didn't happen because it still has its magnetic stripe.
Oh. It could receive this upgrade starting in 2027.
Oh, interesting. I wonder if that's a sign of things to come where they're going to start getting away with the magnetic strip. That's going to suck because I know that there are still places where... I know, like, in, you know, medical places where they're just behind, and we don't have near the amount of tap to pay, contactless payment, whatever you want to call it out here, that I would like to see. And I know I've come across occasions where I went to dip the chip and they said, no, you have to swipe it. So I know there's old card readers out there. I wonder what's going to happen. That's going to suck. It just feels like we can never really actually go without a wallet, like without a physical wallet. You still have to have a physical wallet.
Okay. Now, according to this article from 2019, Apple Card is not tap to pay.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But again, that's something I've done once.
But not tap to pay. You dip the chip, right?
Not with the Apple Card. With another card, I did tap to pay because their Apple Pay wasn't working correctly. And I run into that a lot. It's like, oh, we're having problems with our Apple, you know, with our...
With the terminal, like, the pay terminal.
Fix it.
Right.
Yeah, you know, you'll just, get me out of here.
To me.
You will get me out of here quicker, and
that
you can wait on the next
the
person.
Day. I had to pay a fee for one of the kids' Chromebooks at the end of the year, and I went to pay for it, and their credit card reader wasn't working. So now I'm going to have to do it over the phone, which isn't a big deal, but it's like I wanted to get it off my plate. I just wanted to check it off my list. So I wonder, though, how does Apple Card sync to the phone? Like, I wonder if there's something in it. So if it's not tap to pay, I wonder what's in it. There's an Apple Card Q&A. Well, I won't spend time researching now, but that will be interesting. I would like to just understand how that works better. If there's a chip in it, or like maybe there's a chip in it, but it's only for the purposes of communicating with the phone. Because, you know, or maybe it's like near field communication. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't dig too deeply into that. I just know I still get cashiers when I'm paying who will go, that is so cool.
Uh-huh.
Or I'll get some that say, I haven't set that up on my watch yet, or I haven't set it up on my phone. And I always say, well, what are you waiting for?
Right, exactly.
Do it. You know, you don't have to, you know, whatever credit card you use, only if you have only one, that's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
But do it. You'll be in and out in no time. It's great. It's so much easier than having to worry about going into your wallet and digging out your card and then putting. When I go to Walmart, I still have to, you know, I pay for my stuff. I still have to get my pocketbook, open it up, get my wallet, open my wallet, pull out my credit card, like put it in, take it out, put it away. And I'm just thinking, this is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I could have been out of here already.
Hmm. Another thing that sort of related to this new chapter in our life now that, you know, we have a graduate, he's going to be 18 next month, like almost a month, the end of the month, next month, he'll be 18. So we'll have an adult in the household, and we're thinking about it. I wonder, did you do any of this kind of stuff with your kids, or it might not have been a thing when they were growing up, but, you know, trying to teach your teenagers about financial literacy and all that kind of stuff. And like I know, for example, we could, and we're considering doing this, adding the kids on as users of the card so that they can basically like inherit our FICO scores, I think is sort of how it works. But I mean, of course, there's going to be gotchas, like we're going to have to really, really be on top of it. And I know Apple Card has some features. So I'll talk about this in a future episode. That'll be my homework to figure out. I know that we can put like kind of like training wheels on. Like, I think we can put spending limits and things like that. Because I remember what it was like to be young. I mean, I was very, very, I'm sure you and I would have been like, you know, best buds if we grew up together at the same time. And, you know, with our money and everything, we're both very much into our spreadsheets and, you know, organizing things. I remember the way that I established credit was I went and I think I bought some furniture, like a dresser and a bureau at a furniture store. And I think, I mean, this was like so long ago that it was on paper. Like I still have the receipt because that's what kind of a nerd I am. I save that kind of stuff. It was the very first thing I bought on credit. It wasn't a layaway. It was actually where I had to put a deposit down or something and then make payments on it. And that's what helped me establish my credit. And then I was able to get a credit card, and it was probably like Sears or JCPenney or something like that. Or maybe it was Boscov's, you know, one of those. And then that's how I slowly started to build up my credit. And then, of course, when I went to college and I was using my credit card to buy school supplies and pay tuition until I got loans and things like that. And I used to move, you know, one fee to another back when the interest rates weren't that crazy. But yeah, it's a process, and it's, I wonder how much the same and how different it's going to be for my kiddos as they learn to get credit. How did you help kids?
Child 2 and 3 went away to college. So I gave them, they were authorized users on my credit card.
Authorized.
They had their own.
Okay.
But it was.
And you did that too. You made them authorized user.
Yeah. So they had, but they had their own with their own name on it.
Right. I believe that's what will happen too.
And it was, but they knew it was for buying books.
Right. And then we'll see all the transactions.
And an emergency. Mm-hmm. And they were good. They did not use it. And if they did have to use it, they would call me and say, I need, you know, like, I need to buy new tires on my car, you know, something like that.
Right.
So I would know ahead of time if they were good. But they were good. They used it for their books. And the books were just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, books are horrible.
How much are the books?
Right. I hope you got points for that.
Yeah. So that's what we did.
I did start them out. So we bank with USAA, and they have a nice feature where they let you create a youth spending account, I think is what it's called. And so we set them up with their own checking accounts. Now their savings accounts, everything is in our name, and we can still, you know, establish like spending limits. I get a notification if it dips under a certain amount, because I try to teach them, like, you know, they don't have a lot of money. They're just starting out, and unfortunately, they're not into doing, like, you know, yard work and things like that. So I would set a limit, like, don't let your account go below $25. Like, just don't let it happen. Of course, you know, it happens. And then I say, you got to get that back up there, you know, and so we try to, you know, give them opportunities to earn money. Or they'll, you know, every check or money they get for birthdays or holidays, it all goes in there. I wished I would have invested the savings account. I wished I would have known more about, you know, higher yield interest rate. Speaking of which, I think, didn't it go down to 4.40? It was up at 4.5 for Apple savings. Now I think it's down to 4.4. But I checked when it did go down, and it's still a little bit higher than Discover savings.
Yes, it is down to 4.4.
Mm-hmm. And I think Discover might be like 4.3 or something. So it's still a bit less. So that's the other thing is, like, I'm wondering if I should move their savings into... Like, I don't know how that works. If I can put them on as authorized users, it'll be interesting. I'll have to report back on that and see how that goes. And I don't think I can do it for the younger one. I don't know what age you have to be. I don't know what the age limit is, but I would think it would be 18. But then again,
Discover
maybe
Discover is 4.25.
Aha. Uh-huh. So yeah, and it's 4.4 with Apple Savings. So Apple Savings still rules the roost there. I'm not going to complain. Yeah, but I wonder if I'm going to be able to get them a savings account once I get them a credit card. And I don't know what the age limit is. So that'll be something I'll investigate and get back to you next time to find out. Do they get their own card, their own number? Can I get him his own savings account to put, like, his, you know, college money in? Because I do want him to, like, keep some money in savings and, like, you know, have it grow. I know that's going to be
difficult. I don't see why he couldn't have his own savings account. I mean, I had a savings account when I was in elementary school.
Well, they have their own savings accounts with our banks. They've had that since they were very, very little, since we were, you know, since we found out that we could do that. But I'm wondering about the Apple savings account. I wonder how old you have to be and what, because, you know, with the Apple savings account, you have to have an Apple card, right? You can't just go in and open up an Apple savings account without the Apple.
Right,
card.
Right.
So that's going to be the transition. And it's like, okay, first I have to get them on as authorized users, and then get them a card, and then set up the savings accounts. So I'll find out all of that kind of stuff. And there was another question I thought about, and I said, oh, I'll remember it. And I didn't. Mm-hmm. I know what it was. I did remember it. You're the points queen. And I know that you like to use different cards for different points and things. Do you know? So I've seen my parent does this, and one of my clients does this. They will use one credit card to pay off the balance on another credit card because they're thinking they'll get the points that way. And I'm like, I don't think it works that way.
No, so I don't think so.
And also they use credit cards to pay their utility bills. And see, yes. I always think it's, will you get points if you use your?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And sometimes with Discover, you'll get more points.
Really? With Discover?
You have Discover when you look on every quarter, they say 5% if you go to the grocery store or the gas station.
Right.
And then the next quarter, it might be if you go to the movies or a wholesale club.
Yeah. I haven't seen utilities ever in that 5% category, though.
Actually, I think on my Southwest credit card, I get more for utilities because I pay my cable bill on the credit card. And I used to pay when we still had AT&T for our cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, and now that we have Spectrum, I pay by credit card.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an Amex? Because I know Amex has a higher percentage rate if you use it to pay for subscriptions, for certain eligible subscriptions.
I have not used my American Express in years.
Why?
I have it, but I don't use it.
Why is that? Just out of curiosity.
The benefits are not as good as my other cards for me.
Right.
Now, I've got one friend, she uses American Express exclusively.
Yeah.
And the thing about that is she and her husband accumulated so many points that every time they traveled to Europe or anywhere else they went, it was free.
Right, right. Well, that's why people do it.
Yeah.
Well, especially if they're going to travel a lot, too. Yeah, I don't know about that. But doesn't Amex make you pay like a yearly fee, though? I thought there was a fee associated with
it. There used to be. When I first got it, because I got my first American Express, I think, right after we were married.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a fee, maybe, I don't know, $40 or $50 a year. I don't remember how much it was. It wasn't a lot, but at the time it was kind of a lot for us.
Yeah. Yeah, especially a new couple starting out.
Yeah. And now it's free. The version I have is free.
Maybe the advertisements I've been getting in the mail are for the business, because I'm always getting them. They're always sending.
Well, there's the platinum card and
right. But just the basic Amex.
I want to say I had the green card before.
Mm-hmm.
Now the card I have is clear.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I don't even carry it in my wallet. That's how much I don't use it. You know,
so there's just not that many benefits to it. You don't get higher
for me. For me. Now, like I said, I know other people who use it, and that's great.
What about subscriptions, though? Maybe you should use it to pay some of your subscriptions.
Like, I use the other credit cards.
Because there's a higher, because I thought it was 6%.
Well, there's something. All right. So I look at it like this. When you have a Chase credit card, they have a lot of these deals where it's almost like using Rakuten or Ibotta or one of those cashback things.
Mm-hmm.
When I did, what was it? I think 2 or 3 years ago, I signed up for Disney Plus, which now is free as part of my cable subscription.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something like $5 a month. I think Disney was having a discount. They were having a sale. So it was $5 a month. But if I used my Southwest credit card to pay for it, they would give me back 15% of what I paid.
Oh, wow.
So you would get, you pay for it all up front. I paid the full whatever it was per year. And then on my credit card statement, it would show a credit of 15% of what I paid.
Mm-hmm.
So they have that for a lot of different vendors.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Southwest credit card, is that only good for the points that you use, only good for travel? Or do you get actual cash back?
No, it's good for travel. You get points. So when I fly, I can use the points to pay for my flight. And now they're adding something in where it used to be you either paid points or you paid cash. Now you can combine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yay. But I haven't been able to use that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or I believe if something happens where maybe you say, I don't want this credit card anymore. I don't use I don't travel via Southwest anymore, or I'm just not traveling anymore. I believe you can turn them in for gift cards.
Mm-hmm. With their associated vendors, probably. Yeah.
You know, but then you use up your points and then you can cancel your Southwest credit card.
Mm-hmm. We recently became Costco members, and one of the things that kind of bugs me about that is they do not use anything but Visa. So we can't use Apple Pay because it's MasterCard.
That's the way Sam's Club used to be.
Yes, that's right.
You could only use Discover.
That's right. I think that's one of the reasons why we got a Discover card, actually.
Yeah. And I thought, oh, good, I have a Discover card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they finally added in MasterCard and Visa.
And with the Sam's Club, I'm so torn because I know everybody out here, like Costco has like a cult like following. I don't know if it is. You don't have Costco out there, do you?
They're talking about building one, and I hope they do.
Yeah.
Because we switched over from Sam's to BJ's.
Right. You have BJ's. Yeah. Yeah, I'm still torn because I like the Sam's Club app because as I go through shopping, I just scan as I'm going. I never have to stand in line. I just boop everything with my phone and I check out and I show the QR code and I'm on my way. So I'm like a power Sam's Club shopper. And I know where everything is. I go to Costco. I'm like, I'm just so lost. And I don't like the fact that I can't scan as I go. And you have to stay. I mean, the lines are really long. They go pretty fast. That is true. But I still just don't like having to stand on the line. So they're just kind of like, they're not, I don't want to say they're anti-tech, but I did ask about that. And when we were signing up for the membership, we did it so we got a discount on the car purchase. And he did tell us that something to the effect of like, they made a promise to their shareholders that they would invest more in their people and their workers. And so, which, you know, this makes sense. I mean, I see why they're doing it this way, so that they can employ more people instead of like robots. Like, in other words, they're kind of like anti automation. So that is a good thing. You know, I just kind of wish that there was Apple Pay involved, but you know, you still can use contactless payment. You just can't use your Apple card. So now I have another, what I was trying to do, and it just seems like it's an uphill battle. Like it's a losing battle. I was trying to like pick one card. You know, and just put everything on there. So I just had like one set of transactions to download. But it just seems like no matter what I do, I still end up having to use multiple cards because of different, you know, this and that. So I have to have a Visa, I have to have a MasterCard. And then, of course, I use Discover at the end of the year because that's when they have the better 5% discount. And then I have my HSA card for medical. So at least I can keep all the medical on that unless there's a time when, you know, the card reader doesn't work. But,
it depends on what I want. If I know travel is coming up later in the year, I'll use Southwest, get those points. If I know I'm going to be making some purchases at Amazon, use that Amazon card, get those points.
Yeah, that's another one I think of adding.
But lean more toward the Apple card just because it's easier. Because when I hit the button to pay with Apple Pay, I've got the Apple card at the top of the list, so I don't have to scroll through. Yes. And I just know that even if I get 20 cents. That's 20 cents going into the savings account.
Right.
And that it adds up. I mean,
it does.
Both of our health care, our insurance for our medical insurance, that gets charged every month. Mm-hmm. I get a nice healthy chunk of money put into my Apple. You know, that's going to end because cannot believe it. But in a couple of months, I signed Tom up for Medicare.
Oh, wow. that's a new chapter in your life.
That will drop off. And then
we've got graduates. You've got Medicare.
Unless the government lets me. Right. I don't think they'll let me use the credit card. They'll probably want to just hook right up to our checking account and take the money out every month.
Yeah.
But
We'll see. So as it stands, though, it is good to use credit cards to, I mean, this is all, of course, like you and I just pay off the balance each month. We only use them for the points. I don't rack up the credit. If I don't have it, I don't get it. But
exactly.
I just pay it off right away, which makes us not very good risks, but it still keeps my FICO score high.
That kills me.
I know.
That the more we owe and the more we pay out, the better our credit score. It's like, do I not get credit for paying my bills on time every month? Exactly. Every month, I make my car payment, I make my mortgage payment, I make my credit card payment, I pay my bills in full or whatever the mortgage payment is on time. And well, your credit's just...
I know. It's like, why isn't it not perfect? And it's perfect because I get dinged for, you know, not having enough debt, not, you know, not being risky
enough. That's the other thing, too. Yeah. I think I was looking at my Discover statement the other day, and it said something like, you're only using 4% of your available credit. It's like, I don't need any more.
Right, exactly.
Thank you.
I wonder if it would make it better if you actually called them to lower the credit limit, because I know that's a thing too. Like sometimes having too high of a credit limit makes you seem not risky enough, I guess. So there is something to be said for adjusting your credit limit. But, you know, it's helped us out when we've needed it, because when we went to buy a car, you know, we didn't use the credit cards, but we had to do something with the debit and everything. But anyway, so it is a good thing if you can manage it. Now, this is a big if. I know what happens is people will sign up to pay their utility bills with their credit cards. But then if you don't use the same one, man, you better be really good with your credential manager and have everything set up to remind you. Because when that card number changes, if your electric bill doesn't get paid, you know what I mean? You're going to get a nasty.
Well, they're usually pretty good, though, about sending you an email saying, it looks like next month your credit card expires. Please go into your account and update your information.
Right.
Now the ball's in your court.
The problem with that, though, is, and I caution people doing this, because as you get older, I've witnessed it. I have helped people get untangled from this, but I have seen elderly people who, like, it's usually, it's kind of a pattern when they write out, handwritten checks, and you've probably seen this too with your parents, and I've seen it with my own parents, like, when they still mail us checks, and I can see, like, the handwriting starts to go, and then they forget, and then they make double payments, or they forget and they don't make the payment, they stop, like, writing it in their check register, or mm-hmm. they can't read their handwriting, or, you know, something happens. And so first is the checks to go, and then if they're using credit cards, they forget which credit card is set up to pay which utility bill. And then if it expires and they don't go in and update it, well, then they don't understand why they're getting, you know, billing notices, if they even know. You know, like, I helped a lady who was just, she was starting to get, well, she wasn't starting to, she had dementia, and it was getting really bad, to the point where she hadn't even, this was so bad. I mean, I loved her so much. She was such a sweet lady, but she got into a point where she was not paying her AT&T bill. And so she didn't even have her cellular service. Like, she wasn't able to make phone calls. And you know why she didn't understand that it wasn't a thing? Because she was hooked up with WhatsApp. She was using her Wi-Fi because she was paying her cable bill. So her internet was still active, but her cellular ended up being put on hold, and she never knew, because she was, like, you know, 86 and didn't understand the difference between WhatsApp and a phone call. You know what I mean? Because she was just so used to, because a lot of the people she talked to on a regular basis were overseas, or they used WhatsApp. So she was using her internet. Basically, she was using her iPhone as a VoIP system, and didn't even really know it, and didn't understand, you know, why she didn't have her cellular plan anymore. So I had to, like, get it reinstated, and oh my God, it was such a mess. Because she let it go and just didn't understand what was going to what. And so, you know, just,
well, this is why we have that shared vault with Shane, yes, with all our passwords. So if the exactly. time ever comes when, you know, Tom and or I either pass, or we start to
right, exactly
not be able to take care of ourselves, mm-hmm. Shane already knows, here's your utility yep. password, here's your credit card password. It's what I did with my father.
He wrote a check,
like you said, the horrible writing. Mm-hmm. He wrote a check for his cable and internet for like $1,100.
Oh my God.
And they sent the check back with a letter. And
you're lucky.
And I looked at it and I said, okay.
Because I've seen somebody do that. They didn't send the money back. They just credited them.
No.
They didn't. What happens if they change services, you know?
Yeah. They
good luck in that check.
They wanted, you know, they wanted, if he owed $100, they wanted $100, not $1,000.
Right.
So that's when I said, I'm taking over. I mean, he was also at the point where if he wanted to give a $50 check for someone's birthday, I had to write the whole thing out and then give it to him to sign.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even then, that's when I became the guardian and I could sign everything.
Right.
Yeah. You know, for bill, anything. And I got him set up online. So I paid all his bills online. Yep. And I just told people who were, like, getting birthday checks from the family, and said, guess what? No more checks from grandpa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they were like, that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad's pretty good about that. I mean, I haven't taken over, but he knows, like, I'll be there for when he's ready for me to take over. We just don't know, like, if he'll know when that happens. And I don't know. I don't know what that transition is going to be like. I think I'm just going to be like, Dad, you know, I got to take over this. Cause, you know, they start to lose their agency, and it's really, it's a struggle, and it's frustrating for them. And I don't want to take it away, but we have that system in place, and I'm really, really grateful that we talk about that kind of stuff. And I have them all set up with his own vault, and, you know, I can access it. Cause for a while there, he finally upgraded phones. I forgot if I told you this. He finally did get a new iPhone 15, and he's been learning stuff on it. And he's like, he'll call me, and he's like, you would have been so proud of me. I figured this out. I'm like, oh, I'm so proud of you.
Well, that's why for the listeners, it's really important, if you are a little bit older, to have either your child or a trusted friend or family member that you can turn to when you need help.
Yeah. And the sad part of it is, because I've witnessed it happen with another family member, you could be, you know, fine and think you're really healthy, and then all of a sudden you have a stroke. And it's like, you're there, but you're not there. Like, having a stroke really takes you out of the game. And if you don't have that stuff set up, I mean, it's one thing to start to cognitively decline. Like, that's going to happen to most of us. I mean, most of us. There are people who would, you know, they still have all of their marbles and their wits about them until the very, very bitter end. But a lot of us are going to lose our neuroplasticity. It's just a product of aging. We accept this. It's going to happen. We might not even know when it's happening, and that might be a good thing. That's one thing to kind of like decline over time and then reach a point where, okay, I can't do this anymore. You know, please help me with this. Or you have to go in and say, you can't do this anymore. I have to help you. You know, one of those things, push is going to come to shove. Versus when someone has a stroke, it's like somebody's got to rush in and like just take over everything. And taking over the digital footprint of a whole other human being, let me tell you, it is not for the faint of heart. It is a huge undertaking. And using a credential manager is a saving grace. And then when you've got other people involved and all the, you know, a lot of different fingers in the pie, it's I'm going gray just thinking about it. I can feel more gray hairs popping out. But so back to my question though, was like, one of the things I wanted to iron out though is, It is a benefit to use your credit cards for the points to pay for your utility bills, so long as you're really good about or have someone that can help you, as we've just discussed, that can help you maintain those connections so that if and when either a card becomes compromised or the number changes or the bank, you know, sometimes will just up and say, hey, we decided to move our MasterCard to Visa or vice versa. And they'll send you, you know, a new card, and then you don't have any control over that. But, you know, not a matter of if, but when something needs to happen that's changed with the data on that credit card and you have to update those utility bills, you better be really organized and able to do that really easily. Because if you're not, it can make a huge mess of everything. But if you can, then you can benefit from getting the points. But like I asked before, I've seen people go and take one credit card and pay the balance with another credit card. And that, I don't think you get the point.
But keep in mind, though, also, if you are the kind of person that does not pay your credit card in full every month, don't use it to pay off your utility bill or your phone bill or anything like that. Because what you're doing is you're paying interest on that on top of it. So you're better off just doing a direct deposit kind of a thing where you can set it up so that it auto pays every month from your checking account. Mm-hmm. The points aren't worth it. If you do the math, which is kind of hard to do, but if you really think about it, if your credit card is charging you 27% or whatever that ridiculous amount is that credit cards charge, that's going on that $200 utility bill.
Yep.
Don't do it.
It's not worth it. That's not good.
No, it's not worth it.
Now, in your 1Password, do you have notes? Like, do you have a system that tells your kiddos, like, okay, I've used this card to pay this and I've used this card to pay that? Do you have some kind of system so that they know what to take over and how to proceed?
No.
So how would they figure that? Like, if you had a stroke tomorrow and, you know, Tom didn't understand it, like, how would they know?
Tom wouldn't understand it.
Yeah, I know.
I have a document that I started in January, and I just kind of like let it go. And I had everything, you know, because I said to Shay, here's our lawyer, the phone number. Here's our doctors and the phone numbers. Yeah. Here's this. Here's that. And I just let it go. And he's always saying to me, Mom, you got to sit me down and show me this, this, and this. I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what a lot of like what a lot of people say, like, I don't want to make out my will because as soon as I have it, I'm going to die. And it's that weird feeling you get when you know you have young children and you have a house and you know you should have a will because if something happens to you and your spouse, you want to make sure that your kids are taken care of, that you have guardians in place for them. But if you create that will, then you're going to die. And it's just that morbid thought process.
For me, though, like I want to get it done, and we still haven't. Like, we still haven't put that together. Now that we're talking about it, I'll admit my own faults there. It is. It's just stuff just gets away from us. We've just got so much on our plates all the time. I mean, I am good about keeping like copious amounts of notes. Like, I do have a, like, if I get hit by a bus, here's what you do note in my 1Password. And I have told them all about it. I'm like, I keep it. So here's a tip. Like, I keep it organized alphabetically. It's alphanumeric. So in my list, when you open up, it's like, if, you know, if something happened to me or I had a stroke or whatever, if somebody Nate knows how to like access my computer. And now that Lucian's getting older, I'll have to start, you know, looping him into that stuff. But anyway, if they log in, they know they can go to my 1Password. And because of the way it's sorted, I have a note at the top that has an emoji. And I just say, look for that emoji. And this is like a, if I get hit by a bus, if I die, like I've even started writing like a little bit of like my obituary. Talk about morbid, but yeah, I have that note in there. And so, you know, I just, every time I think of something, I try to add to it.
She wants to be buried head to toe in purple.
and then I want human composting. I want to be planted. I want to be a garden someday. I don't know if it's legal here yet, but we'll see. Anyway, yeah, because the future isn't here yet. So, you know, you gotta keep those notes as you go along. But also what I do with my 1Password and what I've trained my clients to do is I set up tags for them. And so I have an auto pay tag. And then in their notes for each, you know, login or for each of the credit cards, I start writing a note. One of my clients referred to this as breadcrumbs. And so I use that all the time now to remember her. And so I say, we got to put the breadcrumbs in there. You got to leave yourself some breadcrumbs. So we put notes in there, you know, this is the payment method on file four, and then a list of like Amazon, Netflix, you know, whatever that card is being used for auto pay. So we have a tag. And then, you know, you can make tags for things like you might have a utilities tag. And then anything that's related to that tag, you just drag it over there. And then so if something happens, you know, the kids can just click on, okay, what does mom use to pay the bills? Or what does mom use to pay utilities? They click the utilities tag and, okay, she's using this credit card for this and this credit card for that. Or auto pay, like how much of mom's stuff is set up for auto pay? You know, most of it, but, you know, what if there isn't? So they can click on that. Or banking or healthcare. You know, I use tags a lot for things like that. And so I try to teach Nate on it, but I gotta teach the kids to look at that stuff too.
See, now for streaming services, I pay for it by the year.
Uh-huh, annually.
Because it's cheaper, so it's not, yeah.
Right.
And then what I do is in my app do, I will put cancel Paramount. Cancel Hulu.
Yep.
And I'm not canceling it. It's just my reminder to go back in and see what are they going to charge me this time and can I get a better deal?
Exactly. Yeah. I do that with my reminders too, because I'm always like, well, what did it used to cost? So I know what, you know, if it is a better deal. Because, yeah,
What's killing me now is my Paramount expires in August. And they're having a half price sale right now through July. I'm like, no.
Oh.
So it may end
trying
up
to get people on Paramount, because I was going to, I'm glad you brought that up, because Mint Mobile, while it's still Mint Mobile, they have a deal where for 6 months you can get Paramount Plus for free. So I can sign up.
Well, I ordered Paramount because it had Showtime, because there was a show that we used to watch that we wanted to finish.
Yeah.
And so I want to say I paid, it was either $50 or $60 for the whole year.
For the whole
year. When I got it last year. I'm like, okay, great. What I'm probably going to do is just let it expire in August, because I'm traveling in September, I'm traveling in October, and I'm traveling in November.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
I think about these things.
And then around Thanksgiving, they're probably going to have a deal, and I'll just renew in November.
Yeah.
The Hulu, I'm going to let go, because Hulu is now part of my Spectrum account.
Oh.
But I'm still paying the 99 cents because I have one of my kids on it. Mm-hmm. So I said, you cancel your $7.99. I'll pay the 99 cents. You jump onto my account.
Right. For while they
until November. And then in November, you can renew on your own with your own 99 cents.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So we'll see what happens then.
It's such a twisted web we weave.
And then with, like I said before, with the Sirius XM, Tom renews in January. I renew in April.
Oh.
And it will send us something. Okay, your plan is $300. And I call them and I go, no, it's not. What are you going to do for me? And they go, well, how about $75? Okay. We'll do the $75. Like today, I called my local newspaper. I paid either 25 cents or 99 cents for 6 months.
Wow.
I mean, it was ridiculous, but it's digital only. Yeah. And the paper is not good. So there's always mistakes and it's crazy. But anyway, I called them today because you can't cancel online. You have to call them. So I called them and I said, I'm going to cancel and I'm doing it 2 weeks ahead of time, because usually 7 to 10 days before renewal, you end up billing me the $15 a month for the following month, and then I have to fight with you to get it back because you go, well, we'll cancel after that. No. Mm-mm. I want that money back. Cancel on my original date and give me back my money. And I had to fight them last time. So they said, why are you canceling? You know, and I said, yeah, it's not worth $15 a month. Well, how about we give it to you for 99 cents a week? I said, it's not worth it for 99 cents a week. I said, I'm going to wait until you have, I said, you have the 6 months for 99 cent sale all the time. I'm going to renew once my, oh, you can't do that. They know your name and your, I said,
you're like, watch me.
I was like grinning on the other end of the phone going, yeah, okay. It's what I've been doing three times in a row. Okay.
I would just play dumb like, oh, I didn't know that. Thanks for telling me.
And all I have to do is just put Tom's name on it.
Right.
If they give me a hard time, because that's what I do with Hulu. I just change my email addresses. They give me a hard time. I'll use Tom's email address.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've done that before.
You'll be back.
Yeah. It's like, don't mess with me.
Don't mess with the best.
Yeah. I know the games. I know the plan.
Oh, well, on that note, we should probably start wrapping up. I think
we probably should.
It's always fun to talk about this stuff. I love talking about this stuff.
One thing I do want to mention before we say our goodbyes is because it's summertime now,
right?
We're going to be a little sporadic in our recording. So, you know, we can't, we're going to try to keep it on an every 2 week basis, but that may or may not happen.
Right. Yeah. Because it's going to be a little hard to do that from the cruise ship.
Yeah. What is it? 23 days? Something like that? Yeah. Wow. I think 23 days we're leaving.
Yeah. But hey, if anybody's listening and they want to hop on with me while Elisa's away. You know,
yeah, definitely. And Melissa, if anyone is interested in recording with you, how would they get in touch?
I'm so glad you asked. We have a variety of ways. We have our email address, which is podcast@geekyshowever.com. Can send us your questions and comments. If you email us an audio or send us an audio somehow, we'll consider dropping it into the next show. You can also follow us on social networks, and we have some new ones. I just recently signed up for Threads and Instagram because they're kind of connected. So you can find Geekiest Show Ever on Threads and Instagram now. So send us a thread or, I don't know, what is it? A post, I guess, on Instagram. So yeah, contact us there. And we're a couple of other places. We have our website, it's geekyshowever.com. Of course, go there and read our extensive show notes when I make them. Mm-hmm. Where
Very
else are
extensive.
We?
Well, on Twitter, we are at Geekiest Show, and I am at Elisa Pacelli 1. Mastodon, we are at Geekiest Show Ever at techhub.social. I am at senseidai at mastodon.social. And Melissa, where are you, Melissa?
I'm all over the place. I'm everywhere at www.themacmommy.com.
I was just looking at the notes here. I thought we had your specific handle on Mastodon.
Oh, it's just the Mac Mommy. Let's see, what am I? Yeah, I think I'm, what am I? I'm not Mastodon.
I know. I can't, you know, I have to go into the show notes to find out what my Mastodon is.
That's why I signed us up for Threads, honestly, because I believe that pretty soon Threads is going to be able to post to the Fediverse too. So I kind of want to see if that will streamline things. So that'll be our new social experiment. So please follow us over there and interact with us so we can make sure that it's working.
Yeah, that sounds good. And on that note, as Melissa said, if you would like to be on Geekiest Show Ever and have a conversation with Melissa about whatever geeky stuff you want to talk about, please be in touch. So we will. We thank you for listening to this episode 419. We'll be back hopefully in a couple of weeks. And until then, please stay safe.